Well, the Bank of Canada has a new mandate this week. It's more or less the same as the old one. It's meant to keep inflation somewhere between 1 and 3%. But with that rate sitting at an 18-year high, what can the bank actually do to make that happen? Armin Yalnizian is an economist and Atkinson Fellow on the Future of Workers and joins us now for more on this. Good morning.
Good morning, Jason.
Thank you so much for joining us. Let's start with the basics. What is the Bank of Canada's new mandate exactly here?
It's the, as you said, it's the same as the old mandate. You know, it sounds like a rock song. But in fact, it was really important to take a pause and see if amidst 30 years of the same mandate, keeping inflation to a 1 to 3% increase band, if it was time to renew that. And the reason for that is because we are in a sea change around the world, not because of the pandemic specifically, but more importantly, because of a sea change in terms of labor markets due to population aging, which is happening all over the world. And since 2010, in the wake of the global financial crisis, central banks everywhere have been saying, we can't do all the heavy lifting. We need governments to also weigh in to help control what's happening in the economy. And it's this joint responsibility language that was brand new in the mandate. This idea that it's not a handoff from the monetary policy world to the fiscal policy world, but an acknowledgement that if you're going to maintain maximum employment, which everybody wants, plus price stability, you need all hands on deck, both monetary policy and fiscal policy.
So if this sea change, as you put it, is obviously a global one, how much of an influence can the Bank of Canada have on inflation as a whole?
Excellent question. And that's the point of the joint responsibility. Look, the Bank of Canada's got one major tool. It's got lots of like fancy things it can do on the side and when emergency strikes. But the major tool is setting the overnight lending rate to banks, which then triggers a cascade of change in the architecture of interest rates for lending money throughout the whole system, right down to payday lenders, right? The whole thing gets affected. And of course, how businesses borrow and how they hire also gets affected. So yeah, everybody's worried about soaring housing prices. And yeah, the Bank of Canada can do something about it because it's the very low, low rates that have triggered over a decade of craziness in housing markets. Mm-hmm. But watch what you wish for, because if they do something to help cool and they won't reverse, they won't immediately cool down housing price increases. If they do something to help cool housing price growth, they're going to also trigger a cascade of other economic decisions based on lending that will slow down hiring. And we're at such a fragile state of our recovery right now that nobody wants to pull the trigger too fast.
Well, I was going to ask about that as well. And I want to talk about some of the, you know, the multifaceted domino effect that you outlined there in a moment. But when it comes to central banks kind of watching each other and measuring each other, is it a matter of someone blinking first?
Well, see, the interesting thing is that you don't want to do too little too late, right? And central banks have become famous since the global financial crisis to signal very clearly when they are going to start raising rates because of this cascade effect on all sorts of business decisions. But, you know, we're looking at inflation rates that are at 18-year highs, which is making everybody start to sweat. In fact, tomorrow we're going to see another print, which I think will drive everybody crazy again. Mm-hmm. I think we probably got another few weeks of talking about this. Let's remember that CPI, which is what they're talking about, the inflation rate they're trying to control, measures year-over-year change. It doesn't measure, you know, how things are changing for you in your pocketbook. It's just what has happened to the general price level compared to this time last year. And this time last year, prices were really sluggish. In fact, in 2020, we had 2 months of price deflation, which we only seen twice before in Canada, once in the 1990s and once right after the global financial crisis for a very brief period. So, you know, the pandemic kind of threw everything on its head. Plus, we've got all these other factors that are driving up prices right now that are not related to cycles. They're related to the pandemic. So it's a kind of once in a lifetime inflationary event. We don't know how many months this will be, you know, elevated price increases. And if somebody tells you that the Bank of Canada didn't move too fast, don't believe them, because nobody knows what the future holds.
Armin, let's talk about what all of this means for Torontonians' bottom line, shall we? I mean, you look at the grocery store prices. I mean, they're absolutely eye-popping. I had to make cauliflower wings without the cauliflower the other day, right? Like, it's just, you look at what you're paying for some ingredients, and it's absolutely wild. When we break down what the Bank of Canada is negotiating here, what they're trying to balance when it comes to this domino effect, what does all of this mean for all of our bottom line?
Well, food prices, oil and gas prices, and housing prices are the three things that are making everybody twitch. Housing prices is the only thing that the bank can do something about. And even so, it's a blunt instrument that affects all markets everywhere. And all markets everywhere are not rising like crazy in housing. And it's not going to change very much what's happening to renters. So let's take a look at food and oil and gas. For food, there is nothing that the Bank of Canada is going to do. To raise interest rates will not lower the price of food. Mm. What we're seeing is the impact of backups in transportation networks. What we're seeing is failure of migrant workers to come in to help sow the crops and harvest them because of the pandemic. We're seeing a cluster of issues that are reducing the ability to get some products to market. So just like, do you remember when a few years ago we had those cauliflower is $6 a head stories, right? Just getting these like bursts of price, and they come and they go, right? So we can't get cauliflower this week, but next week we can, but we can't get mangoes, right? So like the big issue is things like transportation backups and things like climate events, which are causing it not to rain in many parts of the world, reducing crop yields and reducing herd yields. There's nothing in our kit bag of how we control inflation that will make it rain in Brazil or make it, you know, reduce floods and fires. So, you know, there's very little governments or the Bank of Canada can do on your food prices. Oil and gas is a slightly different thing. But again, the bank and the government of Canada, both entities can do very little because OPEC kind of calls the shots there. Any cartel that sets the price for anything makes us all price takers. So we have very little control over that too.
Just before we let you go, and I'm just about out of time here, but I wanted to mention we're going to be speaking to Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland on the program tomorrow. She, of course, is set to deliver her economic update this afternoon. If you had her ear, what is the one question you would want to ask her right now, Armin?
Are you prepared to start balancing books because of political pressure, or are you willing to continue to invest in the things that are going to set the foundation for future growth?
We will put that question to the finance minister tomorrow. Armin, thanks for this.
Thank you.
That is Armin Yelnizian, who is an economist and Atkinson Fellow on the future of workers. And yes, as mentioned, the federal government set to reveal their financial update a little later on today and tomorrow. Stay with us here on Metro Morning because Federal Finance Minister and Toronto MP Chrystia Freeland will be our guest.